Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Welcome to the Big Red Copcast. I'm Pat.
I'm Joe, and somewhere in the Rockies
is Tweety. I was going to let him introduce himself, but he can't. He's gone.
No, he's gone. He'll probably come back.
Yeah.
A minute or so ago, Ryan has got a nice mustache right now. So if you have a chance to check it out on our Patreon page, if he comes back in, and he was frozen in a really great pose.
Here's the other issue, though. It becomes hard to get things up on our Patreon when Tweety's not editing because there's like major security and I can't log in usually.
Because it
then pushes to his phone. Anyway, anything to not talk about.
We should do a screenshot maybe. Yes, that's true. Well, last week, Pat, I thought you and I, you know, I thought we kind of crossed this bridge last week, you and I. And in a way, I felt some peace during this game because I'm not saying I've given up, and this is what I want to talk about later on, but we have fallen so far. It's not even like we have lost six straight games to Iowa.
It's gross.
Yeah.
But also,
yeah.
Like,
it is gross.
And none of them were
satisfactory losses. Not that there is such a thing, but like always, like either we lose and kick ourselves, and we've killed ourselves. Nebraska's cost itself a third of the losses in the last 6 years.
So four of those six games to Iowa have been one possession games, including the last three. But if you think about that, and so like that's. It's real tempting to call that a hallmark of the Scott Frost era right now, because if you look at close games, like if Nebraska wins half of those, like you don't have Pat Forty and Dan Wolken trying to dunk on Scott Frost in the middle of games because like he would have a solid record and there would be some momentum built. But the thing of it is, like, we're all Husker fans. We've been here for longer than Frost. I mean, so to speak. I mean, Frost has been with the program for a long time in one way or another.
But the Cobcast has been going longer than he's been coached.
But, like, this losing close games thing goes back well beyond that. Like, Riley's first year. At some point, so Tweety is trying to rejoin us. If at some point you guys are able to talk for a little bit, I've got a few stats in my mind that I should have probably figured out before we jumped on the air.
That's all right. We can filibuster while you're looking them up if he ever gets in. But you're right. Those if half of those I'm reminded a lot of the Los Angeles Chargers, I should say.
The former, the artist formerly known as the San Diego Chargers.
Correct. Lost this year and last.
Omaha World
Every
Herald
game
columnist,
is a...
Oh, I was just going to say, by the way, Omaha World Herald columnist Tom Chattel is a huge San Diego Chargers fan for some reason.
Is he? Well, yeah. He's having a real rough few years. Because It's been the same kind of losses where... So if we have the ball, that means we're down. And we're going to somehow fumble it away when it's looking promising, perhaps. Mm-hmm. If they have the ball, there's going to be a broken play where a guy's going to break open because we can't get a pass rush. Okay. And that is what I want to say. We need Gregory. We need a Randy Gregory. That's the last guy we had who was like that.
Caleb Tanner is starting to show flashes of it at times.
Yep. 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 And there's flashes overall. Honestly, I'm not like crushed and despondent, probably because I already am.
Yeah.
So, you know, my relative level is so low now that there wasn't much lower to go for the Iowa game.
No.
I'm released from my burden by not giving a shit anymore. Now, that doesn't mean I won't be right back into it on Saturday. But I didn't want to watch the Iowa game. But I did. You know, it's an addiction. And so, you know, it's kind of like when my wife sees how miserable I am and how she talks to our daughter when I'm watching the Nebraska game, like, don't bother daddy. It's sad in a way because she knows how it's going to turn out by now.
Emma's the same way, and we don't have kids, but you can tell she's waiting for that meltdown. But the thing of it is, I've tried to tell her, like, lately, honestly, you don't have to worry about that because, like, I'm just kind of over it. Like,
well, that's how I felt. I don't have, like, the emotion to muster.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't call it straight up apathy, but also like
self-preservation.
Yeah. Who, like, what good would it do me to give a fuck? Like,
this is that definition of insanity thing where expecting different results, you know what I mean? Like, we're in the same boat here and we have been for a long time. And look, I'm not bailing out on the boat, but I'm just kicking back and letting it float wherever it goes. You know, I'm not paddling anymore. I'm not pointing in any direction. I'm not looking for the sun for a compass.
I'm sticking with the analogy.
Yes. I'm just staying in the boat, sink or swim, but I'm not putting any effort into it anymore because I'll die.
Exactly. So I have figured out that in the Scott Frost era, which is, let me be sure I've got this math right. I'm gonna wait on this stat.
Because I also wanted to compare later on the years. I forgot that we made Florida State we didn't make them a power, but they got their first national title against us.
Yeah, well, and they also got their first, like, truly signature national win in Lincoln.
Yep.
So
that's Clemson, Miami, and Florida State that we have created.
Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, Florida State's not any better than we are right now. And in fact, Florida State might be one of the few schools that I can put up. I mean, Michigan, there's some solace in that too, Pat, that we are not alone right now.
I don't take any solace in that.
Penn State, Florida State, they are just all, even Miami's pretty shitty. They have a couple more wins, but sad programs all. Miami has a good quarterback, and that's something we can talk about. Well, let's get into it because Tweety, he's up in the mountains now.
Yeah.
So well, the two quarterback system.
We'll get to that in a second. The reason why I don't give a shit about other programs is when I went to college, I went to college with a bunch of dudes from Iowa who they weren't even in our conference yet. And they just relished seeing Nebraska lose at every turn. That's why I hate Iowa, because like, I didn't give a shit about them. Like, I don't think, like, why care about any other program besides your own? And Iowa, I think, cares way more about, at least as much about a Nebraska loss as they care about an Iowa win. I hate that. I despise.
Yes, that's a dangerous game to play. Like, I've been there a couple of seasons with the Red Sox. Now, luckily, the Yankees have been truly at least competitive. The Yankees have been Bo Pelini good for the last, like, 20 years, you know? Except we have one title in 20 years, which for the Yankees is not good. But at least they are putting out good teams year in, year out. I know it's going to be a 500 record.
I know they're always going to knock the Twins out of the playoffs.
Yes, exactly. But there have been a couple of years where I'm just like, oh, the Red Sox are so good. I just want to hate them. And that's not the way to spend your season rooting for or against teams.
No.
And yes, well, Iowa's never had and will never have the run that we had. Not even when we won the national championships. They've never had a run that we had up until the national championships. Again, they are now it's crossing over. Remember last year and the year before we were looking at the last 10 years. Now Iowa can say, because this last year's been not great for them, but absolute shit for us, that now their greatest period of time that they're in is better slightly than our worst period of time, which is what we are in.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking over the last 10 years, now they've taken the lead in that, but it's still a very hollow victory. The only victory of theirs that's not hollow is the last six games that they've beaten us. All of them in a fashion that I would really love if I was an Iowa fan.
Both of those teams were not particularly impressive yesterday. Like, they just weren't.
No.
Like, if that's
there were a few impressive plays.
If that's what you want your program to be, is a third straight one possession win over, like, quite honestly, a bad Nebraska team, then congratulations. Yes. Like,
but this is what the Northwesterns. Yeah. This is what the Northwesterns and the Iowas and in a way, maybe I'll try to put a positive spin on this. That's not what Scott Frost is doing, because he wasn't brought in to be Pelini to be 9-2. Now, again, there may be people who are longing for those days at this point. But what I'm saying is that for Northwestern and Iowa, they have to play a style that keeps it low scoring, that makes it a close game, no matter if you're playing a great team or a shitty team, because their aspirations are the Big Ten West.
Yeah. And
now,
we
would love a Big Ten West, but I think
once.
Scott is
they've
shooting.
They've done that.
Okay.
Once.
But I mean, that's like, that's their ceiling.
Yeah.
That's their ceiling. We now our floor is pretty low, but again, it's kind of like looking at a guy out of high school. It's like, okay, this guy could be LeBron James, or he could be, who's the guy
Jonathan
who Jordan
Bender.
Drafted? Yes, that's a good one too, Jonathan Bender. So
you met Kwame Brown.
Yes, I did. Again, though, I think Frost is going for high ceiling, low floor. He doesn't care about the floor right now. For Northwestern and Iowa, their floor and ceiling are very close together.
Yeah.
Right now, clearly, we are close to the floor. But playing this kind of offense is like what Ohio State does. So Ohio State is a national title contender. Nebraska wants to be a national title contender. They're not going to play 26, 24 games where you run the ball 65 times. Now, I'm not saying that this is the right idea or anything, but I'm just trying to frame it in terms of the Northwesterns and the Iowas. This is it for them.
Yeah.
Once every 50 years, they go to a Rose Bowl and are going to be in the top five.
They argue that, like, because they've had a couple seasons that are above that average, you know, like where they lost two games.
Yeah.
That they are close to elite, but they're not. Like you say, that is
no, and right. And we knew, and if they had ever been elite, they would know.
Right. And like, and that's not to discount from just like how bad Nebraska is right now, but it is saying
no,
like you, they're like, because I get into this argument with Iowa fans every year, like to where I'm saying, I'm not saying Nebraska is good. I'm saying Iowa is a nobody. And they say, well, come on, that's they're way, way above average. No, they're slightly.
And they're not this year.
And they're not. They definitely aren't this year. And
but
if you like, if you think that all of a sudden that you're going to like get over the hump and have a truly elite year because you've had a couple above average seasons toward the end of Ferentz's career, you're kidding yourself. Like Tom Osborne could sniff a title, even though he went a long time without one
from 81 on.
Yeah, you could see the elements of greatness even at the beginning of his career. I mean, granted, he took over a program in better shape than Kirk Ferentz did, but like you could see, and I say this as someone who wasn't alive for the early portion of his career, but like if you go back and look at it, it's pretty clear that there were like it's not the die is pretty well cast with Ferentz. He's
gone after this year. He's resigning after this year. He's resigning after this year. Exactly. Yeah. But here's the thing. Nebraska was elite, and you can argue whether you want to or not if we can get to elite again. But we were elite.
Or even if that eliteness is even worth talking about at this point.
Sure. But we know what it is. We know what it feels like. And that's why we fired Pelini. And that's why they don't fire Ferentz. Now, again, all these things are, you can question whether it was the right, but don't judge it on the results, because they fired Pelini, obviously his personality too, but they knew that 9-2, he was a good version of Ferentz. Let's be fair about that. His record was better at Nebraska than Ferentz's consistently. So he was a good version of Ferentz, but we fired him because he wasn't Osborne. Now who's Osborne? Three other coaches, five in history. So that's tough. Saban, Bear Bryant, Osborne, you know, like it's a very small list, but that's what we were going for. And we went through these other guys, all mistakes, and we're on Frost. And that's this is our last shot here. You know, this is the last Jedi situation.
It's funny that you bring up the Bo Pelini stuff, because I still think that's why Iowa fans are so chapped in the ass right now, because of when Eichhorst fired Pelini, which, by the way, he allegedly wanted to do a season prior, but was cut off by the Board of Regents. But but when he had his press conference and they said, well, you just came off a win against Iowa, like, is that really when you want to fire someone? And he said, you know, I looked at the Iowa program and said, do we want to be measured against that? And Iowa fans still hold that in their beak. And it's like, hang on, Bo Pelini, Mike Riley, Sean Eichhorst, none of those guys are here anymore. Like,
no, but don't think that isn't, don't you think that way?
Well, it is. Yeah, I do.
And so it's very insulting to them. And it still is, because they've beaten us six in a row. I can't argue with that. We're still more of a premium program than them. And that's what burns them. This is the Tampa Bay Rays winning three division titles in 4 years and the Yankees leading the league in merchandising. If the Yankees were really shitty, they still would lead the league in merchandising to some extent. Yeah. So Tampa Bay is jealous of the Yankees, even when they're better than the Yankees, because the Yankees are still the Yankees. Iowa is better than us right now, but they're still a shittier program.
Well, the part that's frustrating is they're not really that much better. Like the,
no, but all they have to be is a little better to kick our ass.
And I say this every year though too, because there were a lot of Husker fans who thought we were just going to get run out of the building yesterday. And I've said the last couple of years, the way Iowa plays, we will always have a chance to win. Just we haven't won those close games. This was the stat I was trying to figure out earlier. So since Scott Frost has taken over, So we would have played, we've played 29 games under Scott Frost.
Okay.
Over half of those have been one possession games.
And that we've lost nuts. Almost all of them.
We're 4-11 in one possession games. Just imagine half of those losses.
Five. Just take five more wins, and we've probably got a 500 season each season.
We would be bowl eligible each of his first 2 years and have a good shot at being over 500 this year.
But we have just lost game after game after game the same way. I mean, there were two plays in that game. We actually had a second chance after the punt return fumble where I was like, oh, that's it. I'm going to turn the game off. But I didn't. And then we, you know, a possibly promising drive there for a few plays. Weird, random fumble interception, game over. That has happened a bunch. Not exactly that, but, you know, the same feeling.
The most game-deciding play, I feel like, was that holding call on the Adrian Martinez scramble late in the game when he just darted down the field. That was a
60-yard penalty, essentially.
Yeah, I think that was an even bigger backbreaker than the muffed punt. I was so excited, though, for the opportunity.
Well, who knows what? Yeah.
For the door to have been opened by a missed Keith Duncan field goal after that bullshit from last year from him where he blew kisses. I was so excited for that to keep the door open for a win. And I wanted that so badly.
Oh, again. And that's the other thing with a lot of our losses that we've been, because of these close games, we have been on the cusp. And even those five wins, the Penn State one is one of those. There's another one that we almost lost the game that we had a big lead on of those one score games. You know, like even the 5 and 11 or 4-11, those four wins are not satisfying wins. Maybe one of them was a come from behind win at the end. The rest are ahead and just squeezing it out.
That's actually a really, really good point. I want to figure that part out because of those close wins. Yeah. You definitely got Penn State.
They weren't even like, yep.
Where like we backed into that one possession win.
Yep.
The Illinois win last year. That was a good one.
Yep. Another unsatisfying win.
Well, I wouldn't call that one. It was to a lot of people because we got down at Illinois, a team that no one thought should be close. But like that was actually a really good fucking football game. Like that was the most physical game I think we played last year. Definitely the best they played. That was a fun game. Northwestern last year. That was an unsatisfying one possession win. That one was ugly as hell.
Yeah, it's just like had we won this game in a one score fashion, that would be the opposite of the way these wins have gone.
Well,
so of course, when we have the opportunity to make a very dramatic victory, it just doesn't happen, you know, and a couple of these wins could trickle into more.
The funny thing is, it's been the same pattern each of the last 3 years too, like where we get down, we look like we're going to get run out of the building. We battle back, we take a lead, we have a chance to win, and then can't finish the deal. We've had one fourth quarter touchdown this
might
season?
Might be. Yeah, our second halves have been awful.
I mean, that would have had to have come against Ohio State probably. By the way, the other one possession win was the Michigan State game in Frost's first year.
The 9-6?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For a 9-6 game, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, as satisfying as one of those can get.
Let's
not overstate that too much.
No.
I don't know, man.
I don't think Tweedy's going to make it back.
Well, yeah, you were about to talk two quarterbacks. Someone raised the idea.
I was waiting for Tweedy too, but someone I don't think he's coming in.
Yesterday, that like we should just do the quarterback two quarterback system because then we'll know we've got someone back there to catch the snap.
Oh, keeping the, well, and then and I hate that there's always some little petty thing after the game, like this claps, and then Ferentz has got something to say about it, and just like again, all these little petty grievances don't come up if we can win a freaking game.
Yeah, I do like. I've kind of got issues with both Frost and Ferentz in that situation. Frost, like, don't make excuses.
Don't
it's
say
just
it.
It's not gonna be a good look. We're gonna be the team that gets raked over the coals about that. Ferentz, yep. Like, just tried some dick measuring stuff. Like, oh, what? It, like, you clearly were in the wrong.
Ferentz is on his way out.
You didn't do it anymore in the second half after the officials told you to stop doing it.
Of course.
Like,
yes.
Oh, we were just encouraging our team. That's a real weird clap
with timed
to encourage your
team. Yes, of course it is. Look, that he's on his way out. So this is the guy who was the king of Iowa, and now he's, you know, he sees it waning. And I think that's the other thing. I think, look, we are crap. I will keep saying it. And I feel like I'm talking to the Iowa haters who are the haters from Iowa who are listening, which
we
is
got
probably,
a lot of them.
You know, great.
We have a surprising amount.
And like you keep saying, we are crap. You've said it too. But guess what? They're about to be back what they were. Okay. And is there anything between Hayden Fry and Kirk Ferentz? Or are we in for the early Ferentz years next? Because you don't
those
get his racist
Ferentz
son.
Were bad.
You don't get his racist son. Exactly. So these early Frost years are bad too. But I think they're worse than the Ferentz years were because we want to be better than the good Ferentz years are.
Here's the thing. His first 2 years are not worse than Ferentz's first 2 years. His Scott Frost record in his first 2 years was better than Ferentz's first 2 years. And it's hard to measure the third years because COVID.
This year is
a different schedule.
You know, and quite frankly, if we were 5-0 right now, we'd be like, I don't want to hear excuses. So that's what the losing has done to us, is that we now, you know, although Nebraska does have a history of excuses, the 2-point and everything. But I feel like on the good side of excuses, we went for it. And then we went through our winning years, which really kind of bolstered our arrogance. And
well,
now we're into the excuse making again. Sure. I know we're talking a lot about Iowa fans, but it was the Iowa game. They don't know. So they think they are a power program now because for them, this is as powerful as they've ever been. But, you know, they've never had 10 years where they were in the top 10 every season, most weeks.
No,
and we had like 20 years like that. And so that's why we're so upset. And that's why they're rubbing it in so much, because they never had the success we had. And so, again, it's all they have. That won't take those titles away. But they want to try to.
Yeah, I can't wait till we do, hopefully next year, beat them. And they say, oh, what happened the previous 6 years? To which we can say, oh, yeah,
exactly.
Don't tell me about the past.
Great. Right. Exactly. Yes. That we can. That's the way these arguments go.
Yeah. By the way, I'm looking at our second halves. We do actually have one fourth quarter touchdown.
Yay.
And it was in the worst of all the games we played. Or no. And actually, yeah, that was, it was the Illinois game.
That right was at the beginning of the fourth quarter, I think, maybe.
Toward the end, when Adrian Martinez came in on a late drive.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
And then we went.
Yeah, I only followed that on my phone. I didn't watch that. Yes.
But yeah, that's the only of the five games we've played. Oddly enough, the Illinois game where we just got pasted is the only one where we didn't get outscored in the second half, because we got outscored 28-3. At Ohio State, 14-0 against Northwestern, 17-3 against Penn State. Then we played to a 13-13 second half against Illinois. And then obviously yesterday we got outscored 13-7 in the second half. So, I mean,
yep,
our second halves haven't been quite as bad the last 2 weeks.
No, but again, we're running the gamut. We're finding every way to lose. We're going to lose every way that you can. Heartbreaking as it may be. We got three more games. Let's talk about the two quarterbacks now.
Okay. I think the right call was made to go with Adrian yesterday. And I think for a large portion of the game, Frost, I mean, I know you don't want to do the in and out quarterback thing, but I think he played it actually pretty well for the most part yesterday. I think actually he was a little quick to go to Luke and maybe a little bit long on the leash with him. I understood why in that late drive he went to Luke for a little bit for change of pace and then right back to Adrian. But like, the reason we were bad in the red zone is because Luke can't throw a pass.
That's exactly it. And that's what we're seeing here. So I don't know what the McCaffrey family is going to talk about this offseason, but the one in the family who's making money in the NFL is a running back. The one who was the quarterback at Michigan ended up transferring. I don't know where he is now. And we've seen a good amount of, maybe, but we've seen a decent amount of Luke, certainly versus Adrian. And while he's a more dynamic, aggressive runner, he is, I think the difference in their running is not as big as the difference in their passing.
No. And I think the other difference too, by the way, I hope this vent swinging isn't picking up on the audio, but the other difference between those, the other thing about those two is, what was I going to say? Oh yeah. If you want to talk about differences, I realize we've got a lot of injuries at the position, but I think I think we're almost probably better off putting Luke at running back. Like, I think the difference there, Luke is probably our most aggressive runner at the moment. Like, he is a physical back.
Mills was still hurt, obviously, right?
Mills was still hurt. Tompkins was hurt. Sevian Morrison has COVID. I like Marvin Scott as like an Amani Cross type running back, but he needs to be
in a stable of backs.
Yeah. And I don't want to judge too much off of yesterday with the offensive line. The offensive line did not have a great game, but I will say the offensive line has looked good at points in these 3 years, but it's never looked good against Iowa.
That's the difference. Wisconsin too. Those are the two, and I could add Ohio State in there, but Wisconsin and Iowa, those are the big boys of the conference. That's what we used to be.
At points, the line looked pretty good against Ohio State this year. At times, they just did not look good yesterday. And Marvin Scott, just doesn't have the speed or elusiveness to. I mean, he's a physical guy, but like that, he was never going to break through that Iowa line. We were better off with Luke running or Wandale in the backfield. And so I think just get creative. You think you're
Luke like Wandale.
Get creative.
Yes. Put Luke and Wandale in together. Wherever you want to put them, they can both, you know, I'm sure McCaffrey is not a route runner at this point, but he is clearly an instinctive runner with the ball in his hands.
He's a smart.
It's just a matter of like, yes. Now, is he smart enough to realize that his future is at running back?
Maybe he's smart enough to realize
I've that already seen
it. His brain is not.
Well, and that might be part of it.
Yeah,
you know, but, like,
he's never gonna play the quarterback position beyond college football. This is the ceiling.
Nope.
For I mean, because let's say he figures it out and get, like somehow develops a little added arm strength and a lot of accuracy and touch and vision and can suddenly throw a spiral. Let's say all of that comes together. That's a lot to have happen yet. But say that happens, unless he has a 3 or 4 inch growth spurt, he's never going to be an NFL quarterback. And I realize Kyler Murray recently got drafted, but Kyler Murray, like,
oh, it's a different level of accuracy
from
with him.
From the outside.
That's a Heisman Trophy winner.
He was flinging the ball all over the field at Texas Tech to start.
He has
out.
A baseball arm. He has a baseball yeah. arm.
That's a different ball of wax.
For a quarterback, that's a compliment because he can throw it accurately from all different kinds of angles. McCaffrey would have been a great running back.
Unless you're Spencer Petras. He looked like he was trying to turn two at second base a couple times yesterday. It's like, Jesus, dude, take a little something off of it.
Yes. Right. He was throwing too hard. Who else does that? The guy at Buffalo throws it too hard all the time, too.
Oh, the kid
but
homing? Josh Allen?
Yes. He throws everything full speed. Tommy Armstrong used to do that.
Yeah, but he had enough of a long stroke, like
yes,
that it just looked like he was throwing.
I actually think Tommy was more accurate right now, but it's hard to say because McCaffrey has not thrown a lot just from the pocket. Now that says a little about the offensive line and everything, but many of his throws have been under duress. He waits a little long, probably. But he would have been a good quarterback like in Frost's offense at Nebraska. Again, where you're throwing to a tight end off of.
Oh, you mean Frost.
When Frost played.
Quarterback. Gotcha. Yes. I was like, he is
where you're running, where you're running most of the time. And when you're throwing, it's to the tight end 20 yards open on a play action.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of offense is a modern offense, which calls for quick reads. Quick, accurate passes that are short where guys can run a lot. And then when you get the opportunity, being accurate on deep passes. And I just don't think Luke's shown more accuracy at any level.
No, or just the let's not even take accuracy into that. Just the ability to get it downfield at all. Like,
yes,
I get Adrian has kind of had the yips at points this year. But he does have that ability to get it down the field. And then he was accurate as hell yesterday.
He was 19 of 21 or something at some point or whatever.
18 of 20.
And then the interception.
Well, he didn't have an interception, did he?
At the end of the game.
Oh, no, that was a fumble. I wish... Yeah.
But he caught it in the air. It doesn't count as an interception when you catch it in the air like that?
I think it was a... It was a strip sack because there were fans saying, hey, wasn't his arm going forward?
And I mean, he caught it in the air, so it wouldn't matter either way.
I gotta go back and check that again.
That's just a statistical anomaly. It's a turnover either way. But he fumbled or got intercepted at the end. I see what you're saying. So it didn't count as an incomplete pass if it was a fumble.
Well, yeah, and also I didn't realize he caught it
he did.
Anyway, doesn't
he bobbled it and caught it. No, you had already turned it off once you saw the turnover. You didn't watch the replay.
Once Golston just kind of came through unblocked, I was like, well, know where that's going. Didn't even have to see that result. Although I did actually watch the players and fans at the end. By the way, speaking of fans, did you hear the booing yesterday with Austin Allen on the field?
No.
When he went down, apparently some Iowa fans thought he was down, like on the field, trying to stop the clock.
It's clear he wasn't. They didn't see the replay. His back went backwards. That was gross.
I don't get.
He got the ball out of bounds too.
Yeah. I don't get a number of things about that. Like
that's not a late hit after the whistle where they twist him into a wrestling move.
If you're going to put it player safety into account, A, how is that not a personal foul, but also B, how is that play not blown dead due to like his forward progress stopped like 5 seconds before that point. Then three dudes take him in different positions. twist and land him on.
They were, there was no whistle.
Hit him out of
bad
bounds.
Officiating.
Like, that
it was bad.
I hope he's able to play next week. I hope he's just fine, period. That was
right.
Like, if Scott Frost needed to save his calling a referee a motherfucker, don't use that on the false start that didn't happen on a field goal. Use that on either
your player getting twisted into a personal foul right there.
Yeah, use that either on the hold that pulls back Adrian Martinez's long scramble, or when they try and break Austin Allen in half,
yeah,
and make him 6'9" instead of 17'3".
Yeah,
that's not half.
No, but
my math was wrong.
Regardless, he had some nice plays. That was a crap play. But again, you know, we're at this point where we're just like looking for ways it can turn around, as opposed to just let's kick the shit out of somebody and get a couple personal fouls in the second half that don't matter. You see that happen to Clemson all the time where I'm convinced Dabo Swinney is just a straight up bad person in the same vein as
televangelist
and an evangelical. Yes, that's exactly right. He's the same thing. He is a televangelist.
We've got like a
and he's false 100%.
Even with that delay, we were on the same wavelength.
Yes, he is. He is a televangelist piece of shit and not a good person. That's it. You know,
he has, and
I got to say, most college football coaches probably not good. What does he have?
Oh, he's got some of the same like mantras as televangelists do, like, you know, and it's a lot of, he spouts a lot of stuff where like, do you believe all that or are you just using it
no,
to make millions
it's religion
of dollars?
And there was an article in Defector, which is all the old Deadspin guys, and I subscribed to that, and I put a comment on in their story like, why don't you recruit against this guy and say, you know, he voted for Trump, right? And someone who is in on South Carolina recruiting responded and said, the religion thing trumps all the politics in the South, black or white. So, he goes in there and talks God. But look at him through the another prism of, he is a fan of a straight up racist. And I know other people in our listeners of our podcast will say, you know, maybe argue with it, but I will go to my grave defending the fact that Donald Trump is a straight out racist. There is no argument to that. And so anyone who supports him is not racist, but they like racists, but they're okay with racists. And that's what Dabo Swinney is.
You and I agree on a lot of things. It's just, you're always like trying to get me murdered on social media, dude. Like, I gotta,
this is me, Joe Canale. Murder, come after me and I will engage you, and I will use something known as rational thinking, logic, and facts to point out that anyone who encourages a fascist might as well be a fascist. It happened in Nazi Germany and it almost happened here.
Also,
moving on.
You can't really use his political bent to negatively recruit against him because
who's the coach you're going to pick out?
Yeah, there's a kind of a monolith as far as political ideology amongst most coaches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a shame, because if you had a coach who was a little bit different, maybe I'd love to see what would happen with him or her. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way. Yeah. There's the first female kicker today.
And they're going to get the shit kicked out of them. She kicked off because I think they realized that they're not going to score. You know, I'm sure it's one
who
of those things.
Who does Vandy have today?
Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Missouri.
Eli Drinkwitz is a pretty solid coach.
Is that Missouri's coach?
Yeah.
He might be the one Democrat coach, actually. I've heard
him. Because he's got a Jewish last name?
Yes, actually. That was not going to be my reason, but you've convinced me that that's my reason. No, because he was early on, amongst SEC coaches at least, he was like, what are the, there's no, There's no,
he looks like a
these
dork.
Protocols are, these protocols are totally crazy. Like there's nothing, he's like, there's no uniformity in any of it. So he at least appreciates logic, which again, puts him in a different category than most college coaches.
Yeah,
you're right. Most college coaches are pro-fascist within their program.
Well, yeah. I mean, Nick Saban.
Yes.
Is he probably is considered a fascist inside the walls of his locker room.
If he could, if he could banish all culture, like literal culture in the Alabama education program and just have it football, he would.
Here's the funny thing about that though. Like there was one year that like ESPN did, they did like a photo gallery of all these coaches' offices, and like Nick Saban's, you would think, like you talk about that he doesn't like probably appreciate culture, but like his was like a classy like Oxford library kind of feel to it. Urban Meyer's was like plain and dull and like, but like actually Saban's, you're like, oh man, this guy's got a touch of class.
Maybe a bit of a surprise though. Okay, well I can be, I mean I can easily shift calling somebody trash over to Urban Meyer. He'll be at Texas next year probably. And yeah, you'll see that program rise, and you'll see rapes in Austin go up by a lot. So look at it.
You,
I mean, that's just a fact of the matter. Well, look at where he's gone and look at what's happened.
Yeah. Especially now that it looks like, Clay Helton will probably survive yet another year at USC.
Amazing. That guy is just kind of, the Pac-10's irrelevance has saved a lot of coaches, I think.
Yeah. Cause they, what are they now record wise? I mean, they're in the top 20.
They're like what? But they're like 3-2 4-2
3-0
Oh, are they?
Yeah. They've had games canceled.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought they lost one, but well, Ohio State had a game canceled. If they have one more canceled, I mean, there's teams are going to make the title because they've played enough games.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, all right, well, you're.
I mean, it's why.
This season's been a disaster. Maybe, let me go ahead, Pat. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I really just kind of.
In hindsight, do you wish the season was played? In hindsight, right now.
Well, I mean.
By the Big Ten. How's that?
From a Nebraska standpoint, you know, we talked about this beforehand that like Nebraska really needs this season played and they need to have a good season. So from a Nebraska standpoint, when it comes to establishing momentum and recruiting and things along those lines, yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's tempting to say like, I don't know, but like,
who knows if we lose recruits by not playing though.
That's also a possibility. As far as like this year, I mean, the Big Ten just either needed to have conviction fully one way or another.
Yes, it ends up looking shitty.
That's the ultimate error of the Big Ten. And you know, obviously Nebraska fans are like ready to dump on the Big Ten because, you know, they wanted football. I'm a Nebraska fan and, you know, we all wanted it. We all like, whether, you know, you deny some of the COVID statistics or whether you're like, oh, we need to go full lockdown. I mean, everybody wants a return to normalcy. There is no,
even if we didn't play, I would have wanted football.
There is no political ideology that says, oh man, I would love for this to all be the shittiest year possible. No, we want it. Everybody wants some kind of normalcy. And like getting back to football could either be an indicator of that or just, you know, ill advised. But so. Yeah, I mean, we all wanted something along those lines. The problem, though, with the Big Ten is they tried to play it super safe, and then when they got grilled, they did what was kind of the least advisable strategy. Like, if you're
all because of their I think the hasty decision going in led to all the crap going out.
Yeah, if they'd have done what essentially was the second of their third schedule iterations, you know, you had the schedule that had been set for years, then you had the one they came out with on TV, then they canceled it, and then they eventually did the third iteration. The second iteration was probably going to be the best one, because you had a bunch of time to be able to move
if
there had been cancellations of games, say a Wisconsin and Nebraska, you have room on the back end to be able to make that up. And then maybe, you know, a team has enough games canceled that, you know, one of those doesn't get made up, but you still at least have a full enough schedule that you can go.
They painted themselves into a corner with the way that they did the whole thing. You know, again, like I think you're saying, conviction. Either say we're not going to play and stand by that and deal with the ramifications. You would have looked okay right now, I think. I think you would have looked okay versus all the other conferences. No, we would have been yelling, but you would have seen teams.
A lot of people would have been pissed, and I would have understood it. But also, especially if every other conference but us played. But
yeah,
but I think you're right, though. It would have looked better than this hodgepodge, hasty bullshit that's led to potentially the best team in the conference not being able to play for a national championship.
And I think the Big Ten has handled the protocols as well as anyone, and we have not escaped the whole situation. You know, like it, you know, all the caution in the world, not letting fans in, which I agree with all that stuff, it still has had canceled games. And now you're seeing all around the country NFL prospects opting out. The guy at Minnesota opted out. There's going to be more guys opting out. That might help our team, because there's not too many first-round prospects on our team.
Maybe Rick Mills opts out. A running back with injuries.
But I think he'd do better to have a couple games. I think it would do Dedrick Mills a lot better to come back in, have a 125-yard game, and then opt out, you know?
You want to know one topic I've thought of, and this is kind of unrelated. I apologize. So we talk about COVID and football and all that. One thing that bothers me when I watch all this, like so I work for a news organization right now, and I see the anger at mask mandates from a lot of people. But, like, you know, when used properly, masks have a good ability to.
There is no argument, Pat. Don't even there's no need to be wishy-washy. It's proven science.
But so where I'm going with that, though, is so you have all these protocols in place, and then you have a football game with everybody up in each other's grill and people yelling at each other and then like masks coming on, off, under the nose. Like, I just don't understand. Like, and then you see like a Thanksgiving game with players on the sideline throwing them on, but like they clearly don't have washed hands, and then they've got to like pull them up like and touch their faces. It's like, what I don't understand is, so in that scenario, when you've got people isolated, kind of in bubbles, protecting themselves, and then are smashing together, like, why? I think there's probably at that point more harm than good doing the mask thing, because A, like, it's clearly not sanitary at that point, and B, it's showing
in a football situation
on national television.
Yeah, you're right. Everybody on the football field, if you're down there, you're right. It's like what are we pretending with this?
The term Tweety would use would be virtue signaling, which,
yes, and that is unfortunately perfect. We need to do that, because actually you got me on a different thought process, because I've been listening to some history podcasts, and there's been a lot of, you know, the Asian culture has worn masks forever. And they are just, I was just listening to today about Confucius something. For millennia, their culture has been honor not only the father and mother, but the authority figure. You know, we have honor the father and mother a little bit, but our culture is not honor the authority. We are not. Some people are.
Yeah, I mean,
more are than I thought. But
my dad was pretty big on, you know, like, hey, if there's an authority figure, whether it be school, teacher, coach, whatever, like that was a big part in our household. So I mean, I will dispute that part a little bit. But go on.
And my father was the same way religiously. I just think as a whole, you know, I think the like when you're young, when you're in college in our culture, that is kind of your rebellion time. In other cultures, it's not. That's a time to reaffirm your loyalty. And so when you say virtue signaling, unfortunately, our culture is such that there are people who are contrary simply for contrary's sake. And shit, I have no room to talk in that regard. I'm part and parcel of that.
We have a podcast.
But
that
I believe in science.
That comes with the territory.
Yes. But I believe in science. And I believe in scientists. And they're about the only people I'm going to listen to as far as authority figures. You want to have a priest tell me something? Eat shit. You want to have a politician tell me something? You're full of shit. Most bosses are fucking idiots.
What about
the authority?
Co-host.
Go ahead.
What about podcast co-hosts? How do you
think? All right. That's a peer. That's not an authority. I have more respect for peers than I do for authorities, actually, and subordinates as well, quite frankly. And that's the problem with but that's a deal with our country. And that's a great thing about our country. But if you simply apply an understanding of science, that will trump your contrariness, in my estimation. Okay. I'm willing to raise the odds of my living. I'm willing to give up a little bit of freedom.
Where is the tie to Husker in college football?
Where's the what? The
tie to college football and the Huskers.
Oh, it was just the mask mandate thing that you were saying. There is no tie-in. And okay. I'm allowed 1 to 7 of these screeds per episode, I believe. I forgot we were doing an episode. good times. Now, last week I was glad Tweety wasn't on because he's just going to be making me angrier and yelly. This week I wish we could have gotten a little bit more of him because you need to have some Tweety in here, given the extreme viewpoints. Like, I don't think Shenander is an Iowa plant anymore.
You two would have yelled at each other so hard during the last 10 minutes.
Probably.
You would have never gotten, to your point because he would have challenged you on that. And
we would have gotten on a different argument.
Yes.
Well, look, I don't want to even do the other part. Go ahead.
I was just saying, cause you brought up Chenander, this 3 second delay.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Messing things up. Chenander and the defense were not the problem yesterday. And have not even really been the problem a lot of this year. Granted, I think Spencer Petras is a bad Big Ten quarterback, I think Ryan Ferentz could really outcoach himself, and he did a few times yesterday. But like, we held pretty strong against the run for the most part yesterday. Like, that's the mark.
Absolutely.
For defense.
Absolutely. What killed us? Now, there have been a few. Like I said, we've lost every way. We've lost because our offense was horrible when the defense was good. We've lost when the defense was horrible when the offense did enough. But mostly, we've lost because of turnovers and penalties and self punishment. We've been our worst enemy. I know other people have written those articles this week, but it couldn't be more obvious. a penalty on your biggest gain of the day, two fumbles in the fourth quarter, you know, it's just, you're not going to win that way.
Special teams had been greatly improved.
Yes.
I felt like this year, and then it was bad yesterday. I will say it's too bad Daniel Cerny got injured in fall camp, the big leg Australian guy, because
their Australian kicker was good.
Yeah, and William Pristup has not been great this year.
He looks like Armstrong to me. He's a big Armstrong or who's the punter? Yes, he's like a big fat guy punter, which is unusual to me. Yes. None.
You can be as roly-poly as you want. Just give me a little bit of hang time, man.
Well, you know, again, it's always something with us.
Yeah, it's always everything.
yeah, it is. All right. Well, I don't want to do that other element without Tweety here to really get into, you know, because we need him to offer a counter. I just think that you and I are too aligned in too many things for that. If I'm going to do a 10-minute segment for Sports Dump, I could have you on for soccer. But if we're going to talk Nebraska, you and I are going to be too copacetic. We need somebody who's like, no,
my wife thinks
we're still the best program.
My wife thinks I do nothing but dispute and argue. So, like, I mean, apparently I've got some skill at that.
Well, but that's the dynamic of husbands and wives. That's your role. You're doing a good job in that way. Your role with us is to, your role actually generally is to be my reason and rational. I speak of reason more often than anyone, but I know that I get off the reason path. And that's what we need Tweety for. Because Tweety is the great instigator. Yeah, well, he's chaos. Even his reason makes no sense because it'll twist it in a way.
I wanted to talk to him as the biggest Nebraska ball fan on the podcast about the 2-1 team. They're a fun team to watch.
Well, maybe we'll have a special. They are. And that's what we may have to watch at this point.
Yeah. Well, when did things really get rolling in earnest with volleyball? They're doing a spring championship with that this year.
I think probably. And that's a sport that they probably can push a little bit if they have to.
Yeah. I mean, cause that will always be our best chance at a national championship.
Of course.
Especially now that
and always watchable.
Retired. Yes.
And our recruiting class, man, if we got a recruiting class in either basketball or football, like that volleyball class they just got, that is like an Ole Miss recruiting class. Like, you know, like that's like, whoa, we've got 4 of the top 8 players in the country and 10 of the top 27.
John Cook is unreal. He was a high school.
Maybe we should become a volleyball podcast.
Dude, I mean, there are enough people who would listen to that in this state. They would. People love Husker volleyball. It's unreal. I can't remember if I've ever mentioned this before, but I had a professor in college, a sports writing professor who had a good friend who used to work for the NCAA, and he came and spoke to us once, and he said the biggest mistake the NCAA made when Title IX went through was they were trying to decide what to make their banner women's sport, and they made it basketball. And he said the error there was
you're right competing wrong, against men's basketball.
There was always going to be that comparison of the two sports, whereas women's volleyball is better than men's volleyball
by far. There's more rallies.
Well, more high school girls play volleyball than high school boys by a long shot.
Yep.
And the way the rules are designed, it's just a better game. And then you've got like two very separate entities. You can still have women's college basketball, just as you've still got men's college volleyball, but you make that your banner sport.
Or soccer, actually, also, I think would have been good. But that's a little more foresight because the rise of soccer and women's soccer was later with the U.S. team, especially. And I still, you know, what's bigger, women's soccer, women's volleyball? Maybe women's soccer?
Women's soccer, probably, just because, you know, just because of the
international
scene. And but like, I think there still would have been the potential of the same sort of comparison thing. Although I will say this, women's soccer is usually more fun to watch because there's less diving.
Oh, almost. I mean, Americans
they've picked it up a little bit in recent years, partly just because of the gamesmanship of it. But
I hate it.
Yeah.
And Americans used to be the least diving guys at all and still dive less than most other countries. But you've seen it happen a little bit. And you're right, because it's part of the damn game. And again, I've said this many times before.
Basketball's the same way.
Italy has no World Cups without diving.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Italy does not have any chance of winning without diving.
But like,
it's annoying.
Basketball's the same way, because like every basketball coach now has a drill where you take a charge, you pop in, you fall, you step in with 2 feet, you fall.
Yep.
Like there's a charge drill.
That's one of the reasons Duke has been so hateable.
Yeah.
That's why Duke has been so hateable over the years, because they do stuff like that while at the same time tripping the opponent. So yeah.
Duke's hateable for a bunch of
reasons.
Of it.
And yeah, we should mention Maradona, really the most, I guess engaging. If we had Maradona the same kind of way today, America would be way more into soccer. If Maradona was a character on the world stage of soccer, a cocaine fueled maniac, soccer, you know, look at what Zlatan, who was pretty, you know, he's got charisma, but not like Tyson charisma, you know, I was never as interested in it as him.
I've discovered another moment where Tweety would have, he would have eviscerated you.
Gone off on us.
This is a lot of soccer talk, and this is another point where I expect a timestamp of a kick Joe and possibly a kick Pat.
That's fine, because we're at the end of the episode. So if they made it that long, God bless them.
Yeah, I will say this. So we've got Purdue this week.
Right.
I felt good about the idea of trotting Adrian Martinez out against Iowa, because he's had a good game against them every time he's played them. It's a little bit the inverse when it comes to Purdue, because he has not had a good game anytime he's played Purdue.
Well, did he get hurt the first time?
No. We were something like 0-4 or something like that.
Did we squeak one out against them the first time played them?
No, it was a home loss.
Are we 0-2 the last 2 years against Purdue?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I would have rather ended on soccer talk than realize that.
And I can't remember how we did in Riley's last year against Purdue either.
Didn't Riker Fife start a game against Purdue?
Yeah, that was his first. That was Riley's first year.
Okay.
But yeah, Scott.
I feel like
Frost,
we won one of those games.
Scott Frost is 0-2 against Purdue. We had them on the ropes last year and couldn't put them away.
Mm-hmm.
The year prior, we just came out real flat at home. And then Riley, I know his first year, they lost at Purdue, and then they beat Purdue in Lincoln. And now let's see what we did in Riley's last year, because for some reason I can't remember. Oh, we won at Purdue that year by a point. So, yeah. We were 2-3 in the last 5 years against Purdue.
Another unbelievable statistic. All right. Well, let's make that 3-3.
Yeah. And then we sink the boat. Sink the boat. Sink the boat.
I was, again, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Forward, hopefully. We've taken a number of steps on this journey. Many backwards.
Yeah.
So we're going 1,000 miles forward now. Maybe we needed to make that clear. We've been taking steps every game, but let's take steps forward from now on.
Yes, 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 yes. I agree with that line of thought. So what's your score prediction for Saturday?
Is it home or away?
I believe. Well, no, actually, that I think it's at home. I was about to say at Purdue, but I think it's at home.
Okay, I'm going to go 30.
Does that matter? One.
Oh, yeah. 23. Nebraska.
31-23. No, I'm just curious. Does being at home matter?
If we were not at home, it would be 31-28.
Okay. It's at Purdue. So you're going
31-28.
All right. I'm going to say 28-21.
Nebraska?
Yeah.
All right. And Tweety, of course, 69-3 without the hemming and hawing. And the fake going to go somewhere else. 69-3.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Good. You nailed it. All right. So follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. We're on Facebook.com/Cobcast. We're on Patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast. You know, get yourself a Hawkeye Tears water bottle and then hang on to it. Or
the worst week to try to get that. Put your tears in it from the Hawkeye loss.
Use it during basketball season. Teddy Allen is going to drop 40 points on Fran's club this year.
That Garza looked good though. He scored like 36 and a half.
Fuck Garza.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, who is he in the pros? He's like Rafe LaFrance, maybe.
man,
Who?
What was the name of that? I was going to say Arvydas Sabonis.
Oh, that's ceiling is way higher than he can get. He cannot be Arvydas Sabonis. He can't even be Sabonis' kid. I'm going to say he's like the guy who's like. He's like the third center on Miami. He played in Portland. He's just a nobody guy. I know Iowa fans are going to get mad at this, but he's the consummate college basketball player. You're Christian Laettner.
That's who it is. It's Christian Laettner or Cherokee Parks.
Yes, exactly. Oh, Cherokee Parks, even better. That'll make Iowa fans real mad. Cherokee
Iowa
Parks.
Fans won't know who the hell Cherokee Parks is.
Well, he's old Garza. Look it up.
Like if we dropped.
Yeah,
like
he's a Plumlee.
If we dropped some old college wrestling references, then they'd get that.
True that. Iowa, great wrestling. Great, great creative writing program. That's all I'm going to say.
So you know what? Basketball season, you can use that Hawkeye Tears water bottle and it'll be glorious.
There you go.
And then they'll just say, yeah, whatever, football. And then we'll beat them again. And then Fran will get fired because Fred Hoiberg will have run it up.
Yes.
He will have run it up. There we go. All right. That's it. Sorry. I went on. Anything else, Joe?
I just think, take us out.
Fatty rides a bus.
Fatty rides a bus.